For Thomas Matters Radio, this is Mark Collier. Sponsor today, Omega Processing Solutions. Always a sponsor on ForThomasMattersRadio.com. We have a big-time event this Saturday at the Highland Country Club. It's the third annual Brighton Center 80s Throwback Canteen. Saturday, February the 6th. $25 gets you two drink tickets, light appetizers. The raffles at this thing is just, it's going to be crazy. I mean, barrels of cheer, tons of concert tickets. Katie Walters of Q102 has just done an amazing job putting this thing together. She is just a true professional. The MC of all MCs. With my name being Mark Collier, MC, but Katie Walters has done an outstanding job pulling everything together for this party, and it's going to benefit the Brighton Recovery Center, which is in Northern Kentucky. And today's show is going to feature Anita Prater, who is the director of that center, and we're going to talk to Anita about what the Brighton Recovery Center for Women is, because, you know, I've been in there probably 100 times, maybe more. I know what the center is about. I believe in the center. I think that they are, if you could take that model and kind of extrapolate it throughout the region, if there was an unlimited supply of time and money, and space, this type of center would get rid of our heroin scourge that is decimating Northern Kentucky. But we don't live in a perfect society. We don't have limitless funds, and we're not able to duplicate this model because it takes time and money. And to do it right, you know, this is the model that I believe works best. And so I want to talk to Anita to kind of explain what she does on a day-to-day basis and just give me the formula. What's obviously there is no magic pill for this to get rid of this problem, but what are her experiences? So we're going to call her right now on the Omega Processing hotline. So 1 second, we'll bring up Anita Prater. So we have Anita Prater on the line. Anita is the director at the Brighton Recovery Center for Women. Anita, thank you and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark, for having me. I really appreciate it.
So we've got a big event this weekend, the 80s party that will benefit your center. This is the third year that we've done it. Tell me what the Brighton Center does, your specific program. Obviously there's I think over 30 different programs that the Brighton Center kind of helps, but the Recovery Center for Women, tell me exactly what that does.
Okay. Yes, Brighton Center itself has over 39 programs in existence, providing social services to people of all ages, but the Recovery Center in specific works with women ages 18 and older who are either homeless or low income that can't access treatment services elsewhere because they don't have insurance, or they've tried other programs and don't have insurance, and just can't figure out how to continue in long-term recovery. So we not only introduce them to support groups and introduce them to how this is a disease and not their fault, but how to manage it. And the biggest thing is we give them opportunities to put it into practice. It's not just enough to receive education, but they have to practice, because it's a totally new way of life for them to think differently, to get into a routine, and to work you know, their recovery program and just make all kinds of changes. And it's really, you know, we've talked before, Mark, it's really hard to explain unless people really come out and see the program. So first of all, I do want to invite anyone that would like to come out and take a tour and talk to us and get more specifics to please contact us. We'd love to have visitors.
How can they contact you, Anita?
Two ways. They can contact me by phone or by email. And I don't know if you have that information available. I can give that to you if you would like.
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and tell us? I'll get that information on the back end, and then what we'll do is we'll put this that information in the podcast, text body. So if you do want to come out and take Anita up on her offer to kind of see what it looks like in person, you know, I personally think that that's what you have to do. I've been out there. How many times would you say I've been out there? Probably 100, maybe probably more.
A 100 would be putting it very mildly.
Yeah, I mean, I've been out there, and so what I always try to do, and I always try to tell people, and I'm so passionate about, you know, your center in particular, because I've seen girls. I mean, I've seen girls come in, you know, when they're there, when they first come in, they have no idea what's going on, and I've seen them literally transform from somebody that is lost to somebody that knows what the hell they want out of life. And when you see that, that's what makes you so passionate about your program in particular. So I guess not everybody is the same. Like, nobody's on the same time schedule. But I guess to try to explain to somebody listening to this what somebody walking into the Brighton Recovery Center for Women, day one, will experience.
You know, that is such a good point, and that is the other reason that I invite people to come out, because, you know, society in general, the general public, might have an image in their head about what addiction looks like,
mm-hmm.
but until you see recovery and transformation in the making, it's really hard to appreciate the struggles that people in recovery go through. And so, and it's not an overnight thing. And you're right, when people first come to the program, and there are many ways that they get there. Sometimes it's a self-referral, sometimes it's a family or friend, sometimes it's court referrals. For as many reasons as people get addicted, it's that many reasons why people seek help. But until they begin to understand that there is a solution and that there is hope, they struggle. And once they start seeing it, going through the process and seeing hope, then they begin to understand, I really can do this. You know, like for me, when I'm on a diet or when I'm starting a new exercise program, man, it's hard.
Sure.
And it doesn't happen overnight.
But, and I'll tell you this too, like, you guys are, from what I gathered when, you know, in my limited experience, you know, seeing what you all do with those women, you keep it real with them. I mean, you let them know that this is not going to be an easy transition either.
Right. It's not an easy transition. We do keep it real. I think we're very respectful
in
the message we give them, but we don't coddle them either. It's a peer-driven model, meaning that as women get so far along in the program, then they get to participate in carrying the message to the newcomers that come into the program, and things that they've learned, giving the message. And the message is all about accountability. So you know, let me back up. We were talking about different ways that people come into the program. It's a long-term program. It's not, you know.
How long would you say is the average that somebody's there?
About 12 months, between 12 and 15 months at the most. Because the support group that we get them involved in is 12 Steps of Recovery, in addition to a curriculum that they have to go to so many classes during their time there. They have so many days to complete their homework assignments. They have guidelines that they must follow. And in addition to all of that, they are responsible for all the cooking, all the cleaning, all the laundry, the groundskeeping. We're teaching them, in order to clean up your life, you also have to keep your environment around you in order and take care of yourself. And so transformation starts from within as we teach them routines of just basic daily living, because they have quit taking care of themselves. They've quit being in a normal routine. And so we're trying to get them back into a healthy routine so that they can be productive citizens once they leave our program.
So the center itself, what I want to do for somebody that's reading this right now is, or are listening to this right now, is to kind of paint a picture in their head as to like what it looks like. Because again, if you've not been there, if you've not taken a tour, it's hard to kind of imagine what a recovery center looks like. So you walk in the front doors, there's a living room right there, there's a check-in center, it's very clean, it smells very good. Usually they have something cooking because, to your point, there's a catering business that started that was a genesis of the Brighton Center Recovery, right off into the kitchen.
That is correct. That is correct. And we'll get into that a little bit more too. But yes, you know, sometimes people are at the recovery center and still don't, unless they're taking a tour, they still don't know that we have 38 efficiency apartments in the building where we're at. It is one huge building, but as you're facing the front of it, there's a left wing and a right wing.
Mm-hmm.
And the left wing has 32 efficiency apartments, and then the right wing, we have six efficiency apartments on top, plus two large group rooms, two kind of like college dorms, except for the large dorms. They each of the two dorms have 16 twin beds in them, so it's six beds of bunk beds.
Right.
Or eight sets of bunk beds. And then we have a dining room to hold 108 women, and an industrial/commercial kitchen. And so on any given day, we have 108 women. There's four components to the program. And depending on what component they're in, they are in classes to match the progress or where they are in that component of the program.
So what are the four components that they can kind of take?
The entry level component is safe off the streets. So somebody just being admitted will go into safe off the street for at least 3 to 7 days to let us get all the intake assessments completed, give us an opportunity to get to know them better, to watch them and monitor them to make sure they don't go into physical withdrawal, because we're not a medical facility. So as we're monitoring them, if they go into physical withdrawal, we've got to get them to the hospital immediately. But also during that time of SOS, which is what we refer to safe off the street, they are getting to know us. They're getting a better understanding of what's expected of them and the routine and the schedules. and having an opportunity to decide, is this really where I want to be, and can I commit to this long-term program? So if they are agreeable to following all the guidelines and the daily 8 to 4, Monday through Friday, plus attending at least 4 support group meetings on the evenings and weekends, and their attitude is cooperative, then they get promoted to motivational track, which we refer to as MT for short. And during motivational track, they are in that component at least 8 weeks, and they are attending classes geared just toward the women in that component. And this, we do a lot of repeating of information over and over, because research shows that through alcohol and drug use, you know, brain cells start dying off.
Mm-hmm.
And as people get weaned off of drugs and alcohol, any of the brain cells that are going to rejuvenate begin to rejuvenate within 30 days. And so for the 6 to 8 weeks, you know, we call it the brain's still foggy, and so they'll catch bits and pieces of what we're saying today. So tomorrow we've got to repeat some of that so they get a little bit more. So at the end of 8 weeks, we hope they've got a pretty good foundation to really begin the recovery program, which is the third component, which we refer to as phase one. And that component is where they really get into the meat of the recovery and the 12 steps of the support group, the classes, and it's something very interesting is where they start holding themselves and each other accountable for their actions and behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So as they're learning about the recovery and how they should change in order to maintain sobriety, as they see themselves and each other doing old behaviors that are not positive, not supportive, not recovery related, they call each other out in a very loving, supportive way. And that's kind of what you were referring to in the beginning is, you know, we keep it very real, very honest with them, because you know, I don't always know that I've got egg on my face if I'm not looking in the mirror, you know? So somebody has to point that out to me. And so that's what we do. We point out things to people that they need to take a look at, and then they decide whether or not to change.
Well, and I think probably, too, I don't know, would you say that that's a differentiator? Do you think that that's something that you at that center does a little bit differently than maybe some other recovery centers?
I think it's very different than treatment or intensive outpatient, yes. The majority of those programs are designed to be educational, informational, and then give recommendations along with counseling and therapy. When we hold them accountable and allow themselves to hold each other accountable, they are putting into practice the things that we're teaching them. You know, we're not just introducing them to recovery. We're giving them opportunities to change.
What?
And, you know, most people, the reason, you're right, the reason it's a peer-driven model, sometimes they can hear better from each other than they can from somebody pointing a finger at them.
Yeah.
They've had people doing that forever. And so it is a different approach, and it's been proven to be very effective. We model after the Hope Center in Louisville, and the Hope Center in Lexington and the Healing Place in Louisville, which has been named a best model program. So yes, it is a very different approach that has proven to be very effective.
What would stop, obviously, I feel like, in my limited view, that this is a model that should be repeated throughout Northern Kentucky, which is ground zero for heroin addiction and the heroin scourge. What would stop this model or Brighton Center to being able to make this model work in other locations? Is it just funding?
Funding and location, you'd be surprised what it takes to make a program like this work. Our funding for Brighton Recovery Center is very diverse. We get local and state funds. We get federal funds through the housing program, donations, Department of Corrections. We get, I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head, but they apply for a food stamp, the electronic benefits.
Yeah.
So that's how, we feed them. So my budget, just to run the programming side, I run programming and housing, and my budget for the programming side is over $1 million a year, and or close to $1 million. And on the housing side, close to $300,000. So combined, it's over $1 million a year to run this program.
Well, and obviously, money doesn't grow on trees. At the same time, we are paying money to a degree if we don't continue to fund these types of programs, because there's not enough beds for these women to even be able to start to put a dent in this region's problem.
You're exactly right. We continue to have a waiting list of anywhere from 2 to 4 months on a daily basis. It's been that way for almost the entire 7.5 years we've been open. And I talked about us not being a medical facility. So for anyone who needs to get into a program, they need to detox first. And there currently are only 3 detox beds in Northern Kentucky for women, 8 for men. And so if you can't get into a detox bed, you have to go to a hospital or detox on your own. And
you said three beds for women?
3 beds for women.
Wow.
And 11 for men. And that's if you're not pregnant.
Wow.
Yes.
What's the most frustrating thing for you as the director there?
Oh, there's a list of things, and so it's hard for me to pick one in particular. And it's not really that it's frustrating, it's painful. The thing that pains me the most is how much pain the families and the friends are in as a result of these people being addicted and not understanding that it's a physical disease, that the misconception of it being a moral issue and these people have chosen drugs and alcohol over their kids or their family. It's a brain disease that takes over their lives and has caused them to change their thinking, their way of being. And so, families calling, if I could just get my daughter in there, well, if she comes in here, you still got to live your life, and if she doesn't, you still got to live your life. Just because they get into recovery doesn't mean your life's going to get better, but families can start healing regardless of what their children or their loved one does.
Yeah.
So that's a little frustrating. It's frustrating for me that people don't understand that it's a disease. It's frustrating we don't have enough money. It's frustrating the stigma that continues to come. People who are diabetic, nobody looks down their nose at them. People who have heart diseases, nobody looks down their nose at them. But you talk about drugs and alcohol and heroin and opiates, nobody wants to talk about that because they did this to themselves, and that's so not true.
What percentage would you guess that when you first opened this in seven and a half years ago, what percentage do you think the people that came in were addicted to heroin?
When we opened in 2008, the majority of people were either addicted to alcohol or Oxycontin.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's 95% opiates.
Wow.
And I say opiates because it is still pain pills and or heroin, but largely the heroin, 95% today. In 2010, when I first started tracking, because I kept seeing these trends change, and so in 2010, I started tracking exactly what the different drugs of addictions were, and I had about 54 admitted in 1 year that were there because of opiate issues. Today, like I said, it's 95%.
And have you seen the demographic shift at all? I mean, because when I go in, you know, and I've seen, you know, wealthy people, I've seen middle class people, I've seen lower class people. In my personal experience, it does not discriminate, you know, about who you are. Have you seen a demographic change? Have you seen a profile that typically comes in that might be represented more in who's staying at your facility?
I haven't really tried to identify trends in terms of, you know, higher, middle, or lower class, because being in the field of recovery for many, many years, I've always known that addiction crosses, you know, all lines. But I have noticed that our population is getting younger and younger. You know, our median age range used to be, you know, in the very high 30s. Now it's in the very low 30s. So we're getting many more 18 to 24-year-olds than we did in the beginning.
What do you think the cause of that is?
I think it's the heroin being so cheap. And I think nowadays people are just not as scared to try anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the trend, and I think the older population still has, let me give you a story. So one of the first women that came to the program worked at a physician's office, so she used to steal his prescription pads to support her habit. And she came in, and when we started seeing people on heroin, she'd be like, I'm never going to be like one of those people.
So she was stigmatizing while she was there in recovery.
Absolutely. And don't you know, we saw her come back addicted to heroin, and said, I've got to admit, I've been shooting, sticking needle, and I've become one of those people. And so, you know, that's the point I want to make, is that the older population, older generation, you know, they do stigmatize, that we don't want to become one of those people. That heroin's a scary disease. But the younger generation are growing up with it so readily available that, you know, they don't have that same fear as the older people do.
Well, how long have you been at the center itself? Have you been there since it's opened?
Yes. We opened in May of 2008, and I've been with Brighton Center, gosh, 18, close to 18 years now.
Well, and I think it's, I don't laugh, I don't think it's funny, but I like to see you in action because you are no nonsense. You have a job to do, and you're very, very good at it. But I love it when I have to see you kind of crack the whip a little bit. and it's so fun to me because I've seen you out socially too, and you're the opposite way when you get out in a social environment. So you're going to have fun on Saturday, right?
Oh, I hope so. Running around with Katie Walters, any event that she's at, it's always fun, yes.
You have your outfit picked out?
Kind of, sort of. You know, I graduated high school in 1977, so I was away in college in the 80s. So believe it or not, I was Googling the other day, what kind of outfit does one wear?
I think you ought to go with the 80s rocker style. I think that would suit you. Spike the hair up a little bit.
Okay, I'll see what I can do about that. But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. Anita Prater, the director for the Brighton Recovery Center for Women. How can people get in touch with you?
They can call me at 859-491-8303. That is the main number for Brighton Center as a whole. But my extension is 5482. So again, that's 859-491-8303, extension 5482.
5482 is the number to remember, folks, because if you just Google Brighton Center, that number will come up, but the extension number is the one that you're going to want to remember. Anita, thank you so much for being on, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Thank you, Mark. You have a good evening. I so appreciate you giving me this opportunity.
Absolutely. We'll talk soon.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
That was Anita Prater, director of the Brighton Center, on the Omega Processing Hotline. Let me go over some of the raffle items that Katie Walters and Q102 have kind of pulled together. So, number one, $375 purple coach purse, a Edie shoulder bag in leather coach. There's another really, really cool Rubik's Cube. There's a bunch of purses that girls just love. There's four tickets to Journey and Doobie Brothers. And that was donated by Rosemarie Mooring of Riverbend. Two tickets to Heart with Joan Jett and the Blackhearts and Cheap Trick. Again, Riverbend. There's a Van Halen 1984 autograph CD. Again, Riverbend. 18 holes at the Country Club, donated by the Highland Country Club. Four tickets to Great White LA Guns. That was donated by Bogarts. Four tickets to Who's Bad. Four tickets to 16 Candles. That's a tribute band, a tribute 80s band. Those were all donated by Finn Walter at Bogarts. And then one, two, three Barrel of Cheers. That is donated by friends of Jeff Dapper and Katie Walters. There is so much that you can get in those barrels of cheer. And those were all inside like a Budweiser cooler party pack, and that was donated by Heidelberg Distributing, Lindsay Longshore. Tammy Root, Studio Root Skincare, has donated three different packages. The one that I think probably a lot of people are going to think is really cool is a brow party. It's a brow party for five. I think girls get into that kind of thing. And then, of course, Brett Michaels was at Burnches and Music last year. He autographed a poster for Katie that we'll be able to do a raffle for. And then there is a Get Totally Kentucky Wild with the New Riff. I guess it's like an experience tour. So go to the 80s party. It's $25. Buy a ton of these tickets for raffles. Every penny of this whole party that we put together, all of that will go to the Brighton Recovery Center that we just discussed with Anita Prater. This is where we beat heroin on the ground level, guys. Like, it doesn't happen. I know politicians want to say that, you know, the legislating their way out of it is, you know, what it's going to take. But, and that probably will help some, but this is where the work needs to happen. And this is where it is happening. It's not putting a dent in it, in the scourge, like it should, because there's not enough money, there's not enough time, and there's not enough space. And these types of events can help to do that. So buy a ticket, even if you're not going, buy a ticket. We've got it pinned at the top of Fort Thomas Matters Facebook page. It's pinned at the top of the 80s throwback to benefit the Recovery Brighton Center Facebook page. It's pinned at both of those. You can Google 80s throwback party. There are promos constantly running on Q102 and 94.9. We put it on the cover of For Thomas Living. Please, please, please buy some tickets. That will go a long way to kind of helping, at least from our perspective, in whatever capacity that we can do, that will help, you know, get us to our goal, which is ultimately to get more money to the Brighton Recovery Center. So thank you so much to Omega Brighton, Omega Processing Solutions, for helping us do this podcast with the Brighton Recovery Center. And anything you can do to help out, please do. Mark Collier, For Thomas Matters Radio.